Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Again, you are now in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, God is doing such great, marvelous things through this worldwide ministry and platform. We have a lot of new listeners. For the new listeners and for those that faithfully tuned in all the time, you already know what I'm about to say. Please get your Bibles, get your pen and paper ready so that you can follow along with the persons of Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. He always starts off with an inspirational poem. He's going to do the same tonight. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to share with us on tonight another word from the Lord. So you're definitely going to need your Bible, your pen and paper to take notes. We always open up with prayer. So we're going to do the same thing on today because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Please pray with me at this time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You cannot lie. You cannot change. You are a promise keeper. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer in Jesus' name on tonight, all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we do falter and we fail and we do sin. So that's why we're thankful on tonight for our risen Lord and Savior and our soon coming King, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his shedding, the shedding of his precious blood on the cross. that through his shedding of the blood on the cross, all of our sins and hang-ups and heartaches and pains and everything that's not like you was nailed to the cross with your son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you that he died, but he rose on the third day of the morning with all power in his hands. And those of us that are saved in his name, we're going to rise too. So we just thank you for Jesus Christ on tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that your word will go forth with power on tonight, that it will touch the hearts and minds of anyone that's listening on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess their sins. And they will also ask your son, Jesus Christ, to come into their hearts and save them on tonight, that they will come to know that God's purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace, Heavenly Father. We thank you now, Heavenly Father, because we know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders, even in the land today. So we ask that you would touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land, as only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We also lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Comfort and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Let them feel your presence, Heavenly Father, even in the midst of the loss of their loved ones. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your comforting power and your strength. Strengthen their faith, hope, and trust in you, even as they go through the hour of bereavement on tonight, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you would help us to decrease on tonight, that you may increase in us, and that your word will go forth with power on tonight, that you will be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, on tonight, our spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, continue to be faithful and of good courage while waiting. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought. Continue to be faithful and of good courage while waiting. I want to thank every listener that faithfully tunes in. I thank God for each one of you. I don't know all of you personally, but I thank God that he knows who you are and he knows exactly where you are and what you stand in need of. So I want you all to know that I continue to lift up every listener in prayer. I'm also asking all listeners and letting you know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. We're going to continue to lift up all those that are on the front lines, the doctors and nurses at all the hospitals, our law enforcement officers of all branches of the law enforcement all over the land. We want to thank God for our grocery store clerks that stock the shelves in the grocery stores, and even those that pick up our garbage off the street, the sanitation workers. We want to thank God for them too, because they keep the streets clean and free of debris, so we won't be getting rats and all other kind of critters that we don't need that, you know, could do us harm. So we thank God for even our sanitation workers. So we want to continue to lift up everyone that's on the front line while working during this worldwide pandemic. And we want to continue to encourage one another with the words of the Lord, that we will all be strengthened in God, and that we will all be able to fulfill our individual God purpose, and then we will all will be able to fulfill our corporate body of our corporate assignment in the earth as a body of believers all over the land that's touching and agreeing in the name of Jesus that are truly saved in Jesus' name. So we just thank God for who he is. We thank God that he is in total control. So right now we're going to go to our music break. Cover Me, Lord. I love this song because even though it's the song is saying, cover me, Lord, God has promised every believer that once we are saved in Jesus' name, that nothing and no one can pluck us out of his hands. Aren't you grateful on tonight? And don't you know that the blood of Jesus still works? And the same blood that's covering us, those old saints of old, the same blood is still covering us, the saints on today. So we just thank God for this song. Please enjoy the music break. We're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to share with us another poem. And then he's going to go into God's word. Enjoy the music break. Cover me, Lord.
Cover me, Lord, with thy
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Cover me, Lord. I love that song because I know that I'm saved in Jesus' name. I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus, and I know that I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and not me only, but every saved believer in Jesus Christ, you, my sister, you, my brother, who are saved in Jesus' name, thank God we are covered by the blood of Jesus. So now we are ready to receive God's word. We are now ready to receive none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, he's going to be bringing forth God's word again on tonight, and he's going to be sharing with us another inspirational poem. So now I yield the mic to you, Deacon Marvin Cox.
Amen. I thank the Lord for you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord for his listening audience. I thank the Lord for himself. I thank the Lord for his Father. I'm just thankful today, and I appreciate this opportunity to bring forth God's word. Once again, Brother Brown, you're dipping in my business. Your spiritual food for thought is coinciding with the message. I believe you were saying something about that maintain comfort. Might not have said that way while waiting. And that's the poem that the Lord has given me tonight. Last week, the message was, I'm tired. But God is so profound in his word and so profound in responding to pleas from his children that he already had an answer for us. And that answer is wait. Brother Brown said that maintain, in other words, maintain your comfort, maintain your integrity, maintain your faith while waiting. And it reads, desperately, helplessly, longingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, he replied. I pled and I wept for a clue to my fate. And the master so gently said, child, you must wait. Wait? You said wait? My indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened, or have you not heard? By faith I have asked, and I'm claiming your word. My future, and to which all I can relate, hangs in the balance, and you tell me to wait. I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, or even a no, to which I can resign. And Lord, you have promised that if we believe, we need but to ask, and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated in thought, and grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed to kneel, and his eyes met with mine, and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens, darken the sun, raise the dead, cause the mountains to run. All you seek I could give, and please you would be. You would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You not know the depth of my love for each saint. You not know the power that I give to the faint. You not learn how to see through clouds of despair. You not learn how to trust just by knowing I'm there. You not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence was all you could see. You will never experience that fullness of love and the peace of my spirit that sends like a dove. You will not know that I give and I save for a start, but you not know the depth of the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond just getting what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. And you will never know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for that loved one overnight could come true, but the loss of you lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, in the time you will see that the greatest gift is to get to know me. And though oft may my answer seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. Amen. And I'm so glad that the Lord gave that to me to give to you, because it's coinciding with tonight's lesson. And I'm going to immediately get into the lesson, and you just ponder over some of the things that was in that poem. And I'll be reading to you from Psalms number 40, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it reads, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Amen. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I just read unto you from the book of King James Version, book Psalms, the 40th, verses 1 through 3. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, our topic tonight, if we were to choose a topic, our topic is what has been already brought to you. That topic is wait, or wait on the Lord. And last week we exhibited an impatience, because we told the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of all of these things that's going on around me. I'm tired of our government. I'm tired of this COVID-19. I'm tired of all of these things that is going on around us that is bringing my spirit down, that is depressing me. And if you notice in that first verse number one, it's got two words that a lot of people think that they are basically the same, but they're not. And one of them is wait, and the other one is patience, patiently. And we think we tie those two together, but see, they're two different things, because waiting is all about time. It's about stopping or delaying action until the thing you want actually happens. It takes away the possibility of being present, because now becomes an expectation for the future. Now, that's what waiting is. We have an anticipation for a determined or an undetermined amount of time that something should happen to us or something should happen for us. Now, say patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. So, King David at his time, he combined the two. He said, I waited patiently. So he knew that it might have been an undetermined amount of time that God would respond to those things that he wanted. But he had the patience, because a lot of times nowadays, if things don't happen, I told you once before that we live in what I call a microwave society. We want things instantaneously. If we don't get them instantaneously, then we cop a real serious attitude. But see, David, he was smart enough to know that he has to wait on the Lord, because, see, sometimes it might seem like it's a delay in the blessing that you asked for, or the blessing that you think you're entitled to, or even the blessing that God may have promised you. Because he said, I will not hold no good thing back from those, and I'm just paraphrasing, that those that worship me, those that love me, those that do my will. So God is saying that those that are obedient to him, he won't hold no good things back. But then the question becomes, when, Lord, when? And with all the things that's going on right now, it's a when behind every phrase. Well, Lord, how long are you going to allow these things to go on? Lord, how long will I have to suffer? See, that's a personal thing. When we interject ourselves, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, you know, this ain't right. So we have to be able to understand that waiting and patience are two different entities. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about waiting, and I'm going to talk about patience. Number two said, now this is one of the benefits right here. Said he brought me up in verse number two of the 40th, they say division, or however you want to address it, or Psalms. He said he brought me up also. He inclined me. See, when you incline someone, that means that you respond, or you're more than likely to do what it is that had been asked of you. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now, how many of us right now feel that we're in a pit and it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and we're not going anywhere? We're just sinking down into that pit. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, which is a strong foundation and established. In other words, Lord gave me direction in my life as to which direction my life should take, and established my going. So the Lord planned this out for me. He the one that if you go on a trip, most people that when they go on a trip, they don't go on a trip without an itinerary. So the Lord gave me an itinerary of what it is that he wanted me to do. So, and he had put a new song in my mouth. So I no longer I'm singing the blues, because we know that the blues are basically about suffering, about being mistreated, and so forth and on. But he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So I went from, Lord, I'm so tired, to, oh, happy day. So many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So what you're saying to me, Deacon, that sometimes people can just observe, they can just observe the things that you're going through, and your faithfulness can cause somebody to trust in God and say, we did this for Brother Brown, we did this for Brother Robinson, Sister Robinson, Sister Smith, Sister Jones, Brother Caldwell, whoever it is that the Lord can do this for. We trust in the Lord. We see the results of their life, and we say, and we develop a trust. We begin to lean toward turning our life over to Him just by what He has done for other people. And so, as David was saying, I waited patiently. I waited without getting an attitude. It didn't make no difference how long it took. I didn't get upset or I didn't get angry. Because if you notice, an impatient person is one who will have an extremely short temper. Why? Because at that particular time, it's something that they want that they don't have access to at that particular time, and it makes them upset, it makes them angry, it makes them lash out. And see, waiting, it does a lot of things, whether we know it or not. First of all, it builds our character. Because you have to have character when you wait, and then it extends on to patience. You don't get upset behind it. Waiting also, it establishes better relationship with God, because it puts us in a position where we're not going to do anything that is independent of what the Lord will have us to do. In other words, we're going to wait and say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Okay. Waiting also reveals motives for people. If you notice, a scam artist, he try to do what he do, and he try to do it quickly. You notice when the Lord, when Judas betrayed the Lord, he said, whatever you do, do it quickly. So a scam artist or somebody that's trying to beat you or cheat you or deceive you, they want to do it and immediately leave the scene. So these are the three things that waiting, it reveals these things. It reveals your heart and your character. It reveals your patience. It also builds a better relationship with God. It exposes your motivation. So we must be and put ourselves into that position where we have to wait, because God is going to move in His time. I've said on the show many, many times that a lot of things that I wanted, a lot of things that God gave me with His permissive will, I was not ready for it. When we get cars at the age of 16 and 17, we don't have the maturity to pamper that car. We want to get out there and fly like an eagle, because it says 140 on the speedometer. We want to get out there and violate the laws. And so before we turn 20, our license is all jacked up. Why? Because we were not ready to handle the responsibility of driving. But then later on, when we mature, we know that those blessings that God has given us, that every blessing is an obligation to maintain that blessing. So we know that we cannot go out there and squander that which God has given us. Now, we're going to move over here to waiting for one hot second. And we know that Job, he waited on the Lord. And he waited in such a way that he said, all the appointed days of my life. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again. All the days of my appointed life. Will I wait until my change? Now, what Job was saying, he was waiting. He was going to wait for this resurrection. He was going to wait for the renewing of his spirit, regardless of how long it may take. But if you notice, all the appointed days of my life. So he had to go through a lifetime to reach this point that this change would come. Now, I know all of us have been through some things where we had a time trial on our hands, and it just seems like the time was just moving so slow. It seems like every day was a new adventure. It looked like we ran out of patience. We became tired. But we cannot allow ourselves to become tired. And I said, my flesh and my heart fell, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That the Father shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Blessed be God. And so this is coming from the scripture where man is born of a woman, is of a few days, and they fall a trouble. I'm not going to give you the scripture, but you can look it up. Now, some I will give you, but you can just use the words that I just gave you and look it up, because we want you to build a natural curiosity. It's not that I'm trying to make it hard for you, but God's word says study to show yourself approved. So he fled also the shadow, and he continueth not. So we know that when it comes down to these things, that we have to initiate it. Because our parents, you know, it's an old saying in the country that you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. You can put food before your children, but you can't make them eat, regardless of how well you prepare the table before them. If they don't want those greens, those carrots, those vegetables, or whatever it is that you put before them, and they say, I want a pizza, there's nothing basically that you can do. So we know that Job had the patience. And see, he had the patience through what? Through his suffering. Are you willing to have patience through your suffering? Are you willing to put it all on the line and put that trust and hope for a better day into the hands of the Lord? Are you willing to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord thy God taketh away? See, Job, he waited. And the Lord, when he was in the wilderness, he waited. It said afterwards, after spending that time in the wilderness, that he was hungry. And so I'm more than sure that if some of us have went hungry, somebody say, hey, here go a Whopper with cheese. Or why don't you eat this Whopper with cheese? Some of us might jump at it because of our hunger, because our body is begging for that. We just don't want to wait just a little while longer. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord was about to, when he wanted to pray, and he told his disciples, can you not stay awake for 1 hour? That's all he asked. So can you just wait for 1 hour before you hit the snooze button? But see, sometimes we get so involved or we become tired that our tiredness and our impatience, it takes over. Now, I'm going to read some things to you about patience. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter the 4th verse tells us that love is patient and kind and does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So, hold on. Jesus is love. Love is patient and kind. So, when things don't happen for us, when we want them to happen, there's no reason to be unkind towards somebody. If we expected the mail at 2 o'clock and it don't come until 6 o'clock, that's no need in cussing out the mailman. No need in us telling him what a poor job he's been doing, because we don't know the situation that arrived that caused him to be a little bit tardy. Because our anticipation, as I say, that waiting is a certain amount of anticipation that goes with waiting. And with me, also with you, I would hope that it would be a joyful anticipation. Mary and Martha told the Lord, hey, if you was here, my brother would not have died. So there was a hopeful anticipation that these sisters had. So we're supposed to remain hopeful instead of saying, like a lot of us do, it's about time. Where have you been? You've been wasting my time. So we have to be careful. We have to be mindful of these types of things. Okay, and we're going to go from there to Philippians 4 and 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay? Now, do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not be impatient. Just wait. And through prayer and supplication. So we sometimes, and it's just one of the human frailties that we have to allow our patience, our hope, to override those frailties that will make us give up on things. And then the lesson we had a couple of weeks ago was never give up. Because when you give up, you give up. Most people give up. Why? Because they're tired. But Lord is telling us to wait. I think those were some of the best instructions that we could have been able to receive. Those are some of the best instructions that would be beneficial to our soul. And Paul said, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. Therefore, that word again. Bearing with one another in love. See, when a brother or sister seem like they're kind of slow or not moving fast enough, say we're supposed to bear with one another in love, humility and love, with patience. Because some things that we're able to pick up on fast. But my brother, my sister, some of us could just look at some things and instantaneously we could just watch somebody do something, and before we know it, we have picked it up and we have mastered it. But what about those ones that you have to take time, you have to take patience, you have to wait on them to, you know, for it to kick in? So my brothers, my sisters, the message for tonight is to wait. Now, Proverbs 15 and 18 say, the hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. See, and you know, a hot-tempered person is a person that do not have the ability to do what? To wait. They always jumping to the wrong conclusion. They say that they got what? A short fuse. And with that short fuse, anything could initiate them to be angry or reacting violently to a situation. So we have to show, and we have to wait, and we have to put ourselves in a position so that we will not become offensive to those. And I know that a lot of us are tired of Washington. We're tired of all the things and the manipulation and the people, but we just have to wait on this thing to run its course. If we know anything about medicine, know anything about diseases, they have one which is acute, and they have one which is chronic. See, something acute, it comes on suddenly, runs its course, and it's gone. And maybe just a cold, it'll come, it'll stick around for a week or two, and then it's gone. Then the chronic, which means long term, something that's been going on for a long time. But see, if we go back to the suffering of Job, we knew that he went through a whole lot, but he said he was willing to say, I will wait for my change to come. I know that I've been through some things. I know that this body is protesting against the pain that it's been through. Now, the good news, Bible says, if you're feeling impatient in your faith, this is Lamentation 3, chapter 25 to 27. If you're feeling impatient in your faith, now is the time more than ever to trust in the Lord. He will guide us to all salvation. We just have to wait for that day with willing hearts. Is your heart willing? These are questions that we have to ask to ourselves. Am I so impatient that I'm not going to give God a chance to get that glory that he's seeking out of my life? He wants glory out of every last one of us that's listening tonight. God want to get the glory out of you telling that demon, no, not right now. I'm waiting on the Lord. But so many of us have got off of that train and say, no, I can't wait no longer. I'm at the end of my rope. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse. Now, this is something good. Say, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the good in spirit. Wow. So, are you willing? I'm putting the question to all of us. Are we willing to persevere? Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to be patient? Are we willing to let this amount of time that seems like it's an eternity go by without, once again, becoming offensive to those who have nothing to do with this? It says, when the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So this is making a preference right here. And that preference is that if you be patient, you just wait just a little while, things is going to work out in your favor. Now, James 5 and 8 say, you also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your hearts. Say, you also be patient. And that means me, you, all of us. Now, the good news, Bible, but that same said verse said, the coming of the Lord is imminent. So he's coming, and when something is imminent, it's something that is unavoidable. Something is in the process of happening. So we must always act as if tomorrow is the day we enter everlasting life with him. Be patient, kind, and full of love towards others. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that asking too much? I think not. We have to be patient. We have to wait. Because waiting is the key. And the verse that I just read, that things is better in the end than it is in the beginning. If you are sports-minded, you know that sometimes your team may get off to a great start, but then somewhere along the line they may slump. But then the end is better than the beginning because they've managed to get themselves together and do what? And win that championship. So the elation that we felt at the beginning when we was enthusiastic about serving the Lord, when we was enthusiastic about doing things for the Lord, when we was enthusiastic about telling people about the goodness of the Lord, they said it's going to be even better. The end is going to be better than the beginning. But every now and then, we hit a slump. Every now and then, we run into some things that may not coincide with with how we think things should be. Now, time is running short. I want to give you a few examples of people in the Bible that waited patiently for the Lord. Now, we're going to start with Abraham. Say, Abraham, we waited for a promise from God to be fulfilled. Say, then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. So whatever promise it was, which God had promised, that Sarah would bear children, and so everybody around them began to call them crazy and out of their mind and everything. Okay, so he waited. So Joseph waiting in prison for a purpose. We know the story of Joseph where his brothers sold him into slavery and told his dad that he had got killed and everything. But see, can you imagine somebody in prison waiting on instructions from the Lord? He didn't get upset. He didn't go cussing out the gods or nothing like that. He just waited. And Moses, Caleb, and Joshua, they were waiting in the wilderness in the hope of God's promise. See, all of these things was God's promise. He said that, you know, they scattered out the land and everything, and they took basically like a 40-year detour, basically like going around the circle. But see, if you know that God is going to respond to you, then sometimes the result is more than worth the wait. You know that Job, once again, he waited through his suffering. He was steadfast. He knew when he said that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And we know that Job is a poster child for suffering. And we know that Daniel, he was waiting for a breakthrough. The Lord, you know, hey, you got me in this lion's den and everything. And they ain't fed those lions in quite a while, but I trust you. You know, I trust you, Lord. You know, Lord, I trust you. Like I say, these, you know, they you know, they're looking pretty hungry. And, you know, guess what? I'm supposed to be the main course. But he waited. Now, can you imagine when you're on the verge of something? When you're on the cusp of something, when something is about to happen good for you, okay? When Jesus, now, last but not least, Jesus, he was waiting to begin his ministry. Now, we're going to Luke 23rd, chapter 21st and 23rd verse. It says his public ministry did not begin until he was 30. It said, the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. So, how many times have we told our sisters, our brothers, our mothers, our fathers, I'm ready. I'm ready to make this move. You know, don't hold me back, but you got to wait. Because sometimes, you know, if you're in the church and you feel that you're being passed over by this person or that person, it's just like a good meal being cooked. And you might even approach the pastor. Well, pastor, why did you let, you know, I'm more qualified than sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. But see, the Lord is putting a little bit more seasoning on you. And sometimes, you know, you just can't serve up stuff raw. You have to sometimes let it marinate. Sometimes you have to season it. And sometimes you just have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you sometimes, you know, when they pluck fruit, a lot of times when they send bananas from Dominican Republic or wherever it is that bananas come from, guess what? They pick the bananas, they don't be ripe. And if you eat a fruit that's not ripe, it could make you sick. But you have to wait for it to get ripe. Sometimes we have to wait for each other to get ripe.
Right
now. And in the process, of waiting for this thing to get ripe, then we partake of it. It's well seasoned. It's ready to be digested. It's ready to be used in a manner. It's ready to be of a benefit. It's ready to be fruitful. So the message for tonight is wait. Message for tonight is patience. And it's something that we as people, even if if you think about it, how many of us is impatient when it comes down to our cell phone? We run the battery down low, and then we got to an appointment that we need a fully charged phone, and we put it on the charger, and then we check it every 3 minutes. Well, it's on 15%. It's on 20%. And when we take it off of that charger and we reuse it, it drains it even more. So just think, if you charging up your cell phone battery as an eternity, you don't have the patience, you don't have the time, you don't want to wait. But if you put it in there and it gets a full charge, then it will last you and it will be a benefit for whatever it is that you need it for. So my brothers and my sisters, the message for tonight is to wait. It says it in the poem where it sounded like a person had an attitude with God about, Lord, why do I have to wait? But he just still didn't give no explanation. He said, wait, just wait. He said, do you know the things that I'm capable for? If I do this now, you'll lose what I'm doing in you. I'm building up that character. I'm building up that love in your heart. I'm building up all of these different things that will be of a benefit not only to you, but those that come in contact with you. I'm getting rid of your attitude because things don't happen the way. I'm teaching you humility. And we know waiting teaches us the humility. It teaches us that, well, Lord, that we got to depend on the Lord. That it's out of our hands until he move on our behalf. So I thank you. May God bless you and may ever keep you. I thank you for the privilege of your time. You're taking a few moments out on this Saturday to listen to what the Lord has to say through me. And I'm not turning you back over into the hands of Brother Brown. Remember, wait.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that word on tonight. I know that was a blessing for someone. As I always say, God already knew who was going to be listening to tonight's broadcast. So he already knows what you stand in need of. He knows what we all stand in need of. He promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we thank God for this word on tonight. Again, I pray that it has been received in love on tonight. Because God's word do also say that his word will not return unto him void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set out for it to do. So meditate on this word on tonight that you just heard from Deacon Marvin Cox. Wait on the Lord. And then I like what he says, what it also says, with the, kind of ties in with the spiritual food for thought for tonight. Tonight's message title was Wait on the Lord. Tonight's spiritual food for thought says, continue to be faithful and of good courage while waiting. So it all ties them together. Then the poem, wait. Wait. Wait, wait, wait. And that's some one of the things that some people find so hard to do is to wait. But we have to wait on the Lord. Again, while we're waiting, we must be of good courage. And we must also be about our Heavenly Father's business while waiting on the Lord. So right now, we just thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox Thank God for the inspiration of poem that he shared with us on tonight. Thank God for his word that was delivered through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. And thank God for each one of you, the listeners, who faithfully tunes in to this worldwide ministry or platform to receive another word from the Lord. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please keep me, my entire family, in this worldwide ministry and platform in your prayers, as I will always keep you in my prayers as well. Again, the word of God says that the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So the word of God is true, and God is a faithful God. He is our faithful God. He is a promise keeper. We can trust him. He has a perfect track record. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight. Please pray with me once again. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word that has gone forth on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. Continue to bless him and strengthen him in his body, mind, and spirit. Continue to grant him the desires of his heart. Not only him, but every faithful doer of your word, Heavenly Father, that those that are saved in your Son Jesus' name all over the land, my sisters and brothers in Christ, all over the land, Heavenly Father, that are faithful doers of your word, that are fully committed and faithful, and while waiting on their gifts and their promises from you to manifest in their lives, in our lives, we want to continue to wait on you, and we want to continue to be faithful to you. We want to be fully committed to you while we're waiting on our blessings to come through. So until then, we've got to continue to give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you for every promise. We thank you that you are not like man. We thank you for your grace and mercy, your sufficient grace. We thank you for your holy angels. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for every angel that you are watching over us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit that lives in each believer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again, for your word. We bless your name. We love you. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You are the Most High God. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Heavenly Father. We thank you that your word has gone out tonight. And we pray that someone that was once spiritually blind can now say that they can spiritually see now after hearing this word on tonight. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise because you're truly worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, as I always say, and it's true, I love you, my sister. I love you, my brother. Even though I may not know who you are, God knows who you are. So I love you and know that I continue to lift you all up in prayer. And again, I'm asking you all to keep me and my family lifted up in prayer and keep this worldwide ministry and platform in your prayers that God will be glorified through it all. So know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. While we're waiting on the Lord, while we're patiently waiting on the Lord and being of good courage, we've got to do what? We're going to continue to give God praise. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.